Hey Veritas, welcome to the Sunday recap. I've got Catherine here, who's on the adult ministry team, and we're going to talk about the message from this past Sunday. So we're starting our Romans series. We're in Romans 8, 1 through 4. So Catherine, the headline verse in this, Romans 8, 1, says, "There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." How would you define condemnation, like in an everyday level? Because that's not a word I use a lot.
Yeah. Right? It's a big word, which basically would mean guilt, right?
Sure.
Found guilty,
yeah.
Right? Condemned,
so there's
judged.
Kind of a legal thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A legal term.
Yeah. Okay. So who is the judge?
Well, in this context, right, would be God. He is the judge over all of us, right? He's
yeah.
the one that sets the standard for life and as creator and king.
Yeah.
So
as a church, we're talking about judgment. And that might be something that, yeah, maybe people have from their church background where their primary experience was judgment. But where have you seen this pattern of like guilt, condemnation show up in church cultures? How does that work itself out? People feeling condemnation in a church culture, church background?
Well, I think we feel it as we know that coming to Christ is something that's through grace, right?
Yeah.
And we experience that in faith.
Mm-hmm.
I think where we see it in cultures where we try to turn it into works, like
yeah.
how do I earn this?
Yeah.
How do I keep this? What was given freely, now I must work to keep somehow. So
yeah.
it can look like I'll try better next time, right?
Yeah.
I think these were some of the things you had highlighted even in the sermon. Or, but I did well in these other areas.
Yeah.
I might have failed here, but I'm still doing well there. So we begin to look horizontally at other people and relationships as opposed to what is God's standard.
Yeah.
So
there's a... You highlight a really interesting thing there, where a church can believe the right things, or we as a church culture can believe the right things. We're saved by grace, and then subtly kind of switch it along the way,
mm-hmm.
and replace the good news with really bad news. Right? I have to work hard. I have to measure up. Yeah.
Right. And I'm guilty of that too. Right.
Yeah.
I think we can slide into that very
yeah.
easily as we become. Maybe we use the word condemnation, but we really should use conviction. Where does the Spirit convict us, right?
Sure.
The Spirit does not condemn us, but He will convict us in areas that we need to be aware of, right? To
yeah.
repent of, to grow in. But that's always with the goal of holiness and not judgment
yeah.
for us.
Okay, just say that. That's a really important distinction. Say that for me again. So condemnation, we got a train coming by. This is downtown. You're
Cedar
fine.
Rapids.
Yep. Okay, so condemnation is this legal judgment of guilt. What's the difference between that and the Spirit convicting us? Just make that clear for me one more time.
Yeah, conviction I think we can use in two ways, right? Looking at a legal term, conviction can also mean rightly judged to
yeah.
be guilty, right?
Yeah.
So it's very close to condemnation. But we can hold convictions as well, so strong belief, right? And so when the Spirit is convicting us, right, it is to lead us through strong belief and holiness
yeah.
to spur us on,
yeah.
to do what is right before God's eyes, love and good deeds.
Yeah. So
fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit, amen. So there's a sense where condemnation is a legal, positional, identity thing. You are condemned. You're not good enough. Whereas conviction is the Spirit trying to point us towards the holiness that is a result of our position, right?
Right.
If we are not condemned, the Spirit might still bring conviction into your life and our lives to point us towards the person that God has made us to be in Christ.
Correct.
So
yeah.
condemnation and conviction are different. There's no condemnation, but conviction still exists in our lives.
Yeah.
yeah. Where do you feel like you maybe run into self-condemnation as a believer? You know the right answers. You know the right theology. You know the verses.
Yeah.
Where does this still show up in your life?
Well, I think it still shows up in my life in like fear of failure, right? That I'm going to do things wrong.
Yeah.
I still fear condemnation,
yeah.
right? That's rooted, can be rooted in lots of things for me. It tends to be rooted in family of origin, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Harsh judgment for failure, right? So
yeah.
we all, I mean, I do. I don't know if we all do, but, and then fear of man, like, right? So man is before me and can seem looming and large to me. Fearing man sometimes can lead me away from God as I desire to please someone
yeah.
other than my Lord.
Yeah.
So.
And that horizontal dimension showing up. Yeah.
Right.
For me, that position thing, like whether my position is at stake, I can operate as if I still have to prove something to God, or operate as if, like, okay, God, I know you saved me, but do you really love me? I'm going to try to measure up. So what you were talking about earlier, right, starting with grace and switching to works.
Right.
I mean, even honestly, coming after the message, I step off stage and have to preach the message to myself because I'm like, okay, what do people think? Am I going to get this email? Am I going to get that response? Mm-hmm. Whatever. And so literally there are two different situations where I'm actively having to preach this to myself as a result of preaching a message on no condemnation. I still am act as if my position's on the line.
Right.
So Romans 8:1 is pretty clear. Mm-hmm. Why is it hard for us to apply this to life? Like, why is it difficult for this to take root in us in a way that actually does change us and bear fruit?
I think it's difficult for us to appropriate truth to our lives, and that's found in our identity in Christ, right? We somehow, I think, speaking about that kind of confusion with works, and sometimes we think that coming to the Lord in faith through grace, right, unmerited favor upon us, mm-hmm. nothing that we have done, we somehow confuse that with, but, well, yeah, I did. I have that faith. It's my faith, right?
Sure.
We personalize that. That might be a cultural context that we use, right? Have you accepted? Like, it's a work of ours, as opposed to a drawing of the Spirit. And so we can get confused, I think. I think I've wrestled with that a lot. I think Martin Luther wrestled with that, right?
You're in good company, Gavin. You're doing it. Yeah.
And so we can feel like, well, if I did this, how can I be secure in my identity? How can I be secure in my end? But where we get to rest is because Christ, right? Because he accomplished all that is needed for our salvation on the cross.
Yeah.
And because he died and rose again, that we have been given not just an entrance into heaven, but a security for godliness here, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So we are even greater than what the saints in the Old Testament experienced.
Yeah.
Right? That we actually have the indwelling of the Spirit to empower us. And that should be where we are rooting our reality. So our struggle is we don't appropriate that.
Yeah.
Another thing that we often hear is, I can't forgive myself, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And so, and hear that all the time. And it's like, if theologically we get it right, we can't forgive ourselves. Right?
Sure.
We are not the ones that we've offended. We've offended a holy God, right, before him. So he is the one that offers the forgiveness, and he does that in a gracious and merciful way that is beautiful. That we, all we have to do is believe him in his word.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing.
And if he's offering me forgiveness, who am I to have the right to not forgive myself?
Right.
Yeah.
I just have to believe him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does feel almost unbelievable that the work is trusting and believing and taking him up at his word.
Right.
Right? Yeah. That, I think that's another difficult thing in the Christian life, where there's opportunity to respond in obedience and discipline and walking towards holiness, but it is so much response to what God has already done and rooting our reality in what God has done. Like, I love in verse 3, it starts with, "For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do."
Right.
Like, done, past tense, God accomplished this thing through the incarnation, through Jesus' sacrifice. And then in verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. As we're in Christ, the law is fulfilled in us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not us trying to hold ourselves up to a new, like, new standard as if that could earn us something. But again, responding to what God's doing in us.
And he's provided it to us, right?
Yeah.
It's in us because he's indwelling us.
One of the wrestles with this passage is it's four incredible verses of truth, and there aren't to-dos in there. There's not there's not a command in those four verses.
Mm-hmm.
How do we begin to move this thing from our head to our bloodstream to our life if there's not a clear command to grab a hold of and go, okay, I'm going to do this thing this week? Mm-hmm. How do we get practical with this kind of message?
Boy, I wrestle with that question, and I think it's where we root our identity, right? And so those things that we deeply believe about ourselves and that we can proclaim and rest in are the things that we're going to walk out in truth, right? And so I think that's the challenge that we have is truly absorbing and appropriating the truth of what God's word has to say and then living out in that reality. And part of that is, I think, almost intentionally taking our eyes off of each other and putting our eyes upon God. Because when I begin to look at you and I, well, I'm not as good good as he is. I don't
preach. She's never thought that. Yeah. She's never thought that about me.
And, you know, so we begin to positionally again focus. And so I think that preaching the gospel to ourselves, right, reminding ourselves of those truths on a regular basis is important.
And so memorizing Romans 8:1, so we've got those memory cards. Like,
absolutely.
Don't memorize to prove that you memorize, but memorize so that in those moments the Spirit can use that as ammo to bring it alive, to help fight the battle for your identity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And invite relationships that
that's huge.
Are able to help you when you can't remember it for yourself, that they can remind you, hold you accountable, right?
Yeah. Good community isn't going to tell you, oh, you're not that bad, or, oh, you're good in other ways, right? That's not really ultimately that helpful. Like, get friends who are nice to you. I get it. Okay. But good community is going to point you back to truth and speak that truth into those moments of need. And so even as people, maybe if someone's confessing in connection group this week, speaking this over them rather than saying things like, oh, it's okay, or, oh, here's some steps to do better next time, right? We begin with identity, and then based on identity, we can move to action. I sometimes think through, when it comes to application, head, heart, hands. That's not unique to me, but what's the truth I need to speak into those places where I believe lies? Because oftentimes I function out of lies. I might say the right answers, but actually act like a lie is true. Where do my emotions need to change based on this truth? Okay, what emotions am I experiencing that are out of line with the truth that I need to speak truth into? And then hands, how do I act like a person where this is true, right? Sometimes we actually need to begin acting on the truth, even if we don't fully think it and believe it the ways that we know we should, right? God isn't just waiting for you to fully get your head and your heart right before you take steps of obedience, but he wants all three to line up, right? So for you this week, maybe it's in connection group, you confessing sin that you've been in bondage to for a while, and you've been living out a story of condemnation. You've been living as if, man, I'm condemned. There's no way I can share with these people because they're going to know I'm wrong. Like, actually, the action you could take is confessing it in light of what Jesus has done. Guys, this is sin that I've been hiding in the dark, but I want to live out my identity and live like the gospel's true so that you could begin fighting that sin. Because sin loves the dark. Sin will thrive and flourish in the dark. It's like mold, right? But we need the light of God's life and truth. And we need other people to speak our identity into those places.
I would say in doing so, when we are confessing to others, let us also respond in the grace that God has extended to us.
Yes.
Because I think that's where we build confidence
in
our ability to be authentic and vulnerable with each other.
Is
when it's received in the same light and measure in which God has received us.
Totally.
Encouragement, grace, and mercy.
That's right.
That which we've received, let's give back.
So if someone confesses in group this week, respond as if they are not condemned.
Yes, exactly.
Actually respond like the scripture is true. Yeah. Anything else you'd encourage us to get practical with verses like this, or to help these things come home in our lives this week?
I think living out that reality in community is so important. Living out the reality by, like, how can we know that we're not condemned is by knowing God and his word and what it says. So dwell in it. Be aware of what God calls you to, what your identity is in Christ, because it is rich and it is encouraging, and it will have an impact on, you know, God works through his word. His spirit is indwelling us. It is not going to return void. And so be in it and memorize it.
I would love for you to invite one friend or a couple friends to memorize this with you this week. Like, hold each other accountable, help speak it into places in your life. If you're not comfortable with memorization, invite someone to help you. If you have used the excuse, I've got a bad memory, get some accountability and have someone help you. Or if you're really comfortable memorizing verses, invite a couple friends that maybe have less experience or that you can do it alongside, and begin to let this word dwell richly in us and the Spirit use it to shape our actions through a new identity. Thanks for joining us for the Sunday Recap, Veritas. We love you. Thanks for joining us, Catherine.
Thanks.